Warhammer's target was beginning to fall astern of her consorts as her oars floundered in greater and greater confusion. That was one of the problems with galleys, he reflected with grim satisfaction. Losing a sail, or even worse, a mast, could have serious consequences for any galleon, but a galley under oars depended upon the synchronized, carefully controlled effort of literally hundreds of oarsmen. Aboard a ship like Warhammer's current prey, there might be 4 or 5 men on each oar, whereas one of the Carisian Navy's larger galleys would have had as many as 10 men to each sweep, half of them facing aft and pushing, while the other half faced forward and pulled. Keeping that many men working smoothly as an integrated team, even under perfect conditions, could be a daunting task. With 5-inch round shot pitching in among the rowers, mangling them, sending knife-edged clouds of splinters swirling through them, splashing even unwounded men with the blood of someone who'd been pulling the same oar beside them only a heartbeat before, keeping the sweeps moving in any sort of organized fashion was simply out of the question. More cannon thundered as Sea Kiss came down on the merchant ships in Windcrest's wake, and he bared his teeth as one of the galleons, which hadn't even been brought under threat of fire yet, as far as he could see, suddenly let her sheets fly, spilling the wind from her sails in token of surrender.
"I believe we're almost in range to give Warhammer a hand, Hal," he observed. "I believe you're right, sir."
Urban returned his thin smile and touched his left shoulder in salute.
"I'll just go have a talk with the gunner and bring that to his attention, shall I, sir?" "I think that would be an excellent idea,"
Shakir agreed, and watched the first officer heading forward to where Raptor's gunner was fussing over the chase weapons on the galleon's foredeck. Then he returned his attention to the convoy, which was his prize. There were only 6 galleons in it, which meant he had enough privateers to chase each of them down and still have 2 left over to finish off the galleys. Normally, Shakir, like any prudent privateer, would have preferred to leave the galleys astern once they were too crippled to interfere with his operations. After all, galleys weren't worth very much these days. They didn't carry valuable cargoes, and no sane Carisian admiral would even contemplate adding a captured galley to his fleet. That meant the possibility of prize money would have been virtually non-existent, and even Delphirakian artillery was likely to inflict at least some damage and, especially, casualties. In this instance, however, he had every intention of finishing those galleys off, yes, and taking intense satisfaction in the doing. He would have been inclined to under any circumstances after what had happened in Faraid. The fact that Emperor Caleb had pledged the resources of the Crown to support operations against Delphirak, and the fact that the Crown would be paying privateers head money for the crews of captured or destroyed warships exactly the way it did to regular Navy crews, meant that the inclination would actually show a profit. Of course, the privateers in question also had to accept the Crown's rules for awarding prize money. Under those rules, the ships which brought prizes in were entitled to only a 1/4 part of their actual value, with the remainder going to the Crown. But that wasn't entirely bad. More than one privateer had returned from a cruise with no prizes at all. Sometimes fortune simply deserted a hunter, after all, and game was beginning to become increasingly scarce for everyone. But as long as they were cruising in Delphirakian waters, the Crown would cover their operating expenses and at least a minimal lump sum payment to their ship's companies. Under those circumstances, the amount they did receive from the prize court's awards would be pure profit. Which meant Shakir could do his patriotic duty punishing Delphirak rather than chasing after the normally richer prizes of Dalaran or Taroisian merchant shipping and still show Raptor's financial backers a profit. Not as great a one as they might have realized from the same number of Dalaran prizes, but at least a reliable one. Raptor's chasers began to bellow. The powder smoke rolled steadily downwind on the light breeze, and Round Shot began to seed the water around her target with white feathers.
"Not much longer, friend," Shakir thought nastily. "And you'd better be grateful we are sailing under Crown orders. I am, anyway, because if I weren't, if it were up to me, there wouldn't be any prisoners. But the Emperor's a better man than I am, thank God, which means I won't be facing God's justice someday with the blood of a massacre on my hands."
He took one more painter's look at sky, sun, water, and ships, then put that thought away and turned to his second officer.
"Stand to at the port battery," he said coldly. "We'll have some work for them in a few minutes, I believe."